The world needs software to work perfectly. So Dynatrace combines cloud observability and AI ops to help teams simplify cloud complexity, operate more efficiently, and drive better business outcomes. See how at Dynatrace.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, March 24th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Some of the biggest tech companies want to do away with passwords. And they think they have a better, more secure way of authenticating someone's identity. On today's show, CMO Today reporter Katie Dayton joins us to discuss what they have planned and the hurdles they face in getting people to adopt it. That's after these headlines. NATO expects to provide Ukraine with more military reinforcement, including cyber defense. That's according to NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg, who spoke yesterday on the eve of a summit of the group's leaders.
President Putin's invasion is brutal, and the human suffering is horrifying and painful to witness. We are determined to do all we can to support Ukraine.
The U.S. and European allies have already been providing some cyber defenses to Ukraine, including sharing intelligence on threats and helping train experts to respond to incidents. Since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, both countries have been engaging in cyber attacks against one another, including launching hacking campaigns and taking down critical infrastructure. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell is warning of the potential risks of digital financial products like cryptocurrencies. He says while the central bank supports innovation, some digital assets can be volatile in times of market stress and could require a regulatory overhaul to ensure proper oversight. The comments came during a panel of global central bankers on Wednesday. Powell also said the Fed hadn't made any decisions about whether it would issue a digital form of the U.S. dollar. Chinese tech giant ZTE has had its U.S. probation for violating sanctions on Iran lifted. Since 2017, the company has been under the supervision of a Texas lawyer to ensure it complied with the terms of a settlement resolving those charges. Now, the decision by a judge in Texas to lift the supervision effectively frees ZTE from some U.S. oversight, though it'll still be subject to a compliance monitor based in Washington for another 6 years. After the Texas ruling, ZTE said it was committed to building a comprehensive compliance system. Okta, one of the world's biggest providers of digital identity verification, says a data breach may have affected hundreds of its customers. The company said as many as 366 customers, or around 2.5% of the companies and institutions it serves, were affected by the incident. The cyber attack was noticed in January and revealed earlier this week by a group of hackers who posted a picture of Okta's internal systems on its social media account. The group said its primary target wasn't Okta, but rather its customers. And Instagram users will now be able to see a version of their feed not controlled by the company's algorithm. Users now have the option to choose a feed showing, in reverse chronological order, posts from everyone they follow or just posts from up to 50 of their favorite accounts. But the app, which is owned by Meta, isn't getting rid of its algorithm. Users will have to manually choose to go to the new feeds every time they log on. The default feed will still show posts in the order that it thinks users most want to see and interact with. Our senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern says that will likely disappoint many users and some lawmakers who've expressed concerns about the impact of the app's algorithm.
I spoke to Representative Tom Malinowski from New Jersey about this, and he sort of summed it up as this is good. There's acknowledgement that the algorithm is a problem, but this isn't enough. And he is certainly hoping that legislation, and specifically his bill, the Protecting Americans from Dangerous Algorithms Act, goes through, which would make these tech companies more responsible and have to be more transparent about their algorithms.
All right, coming up, go ahead, forget all those passwords you've memorized. Well, maybe not just yet. We'll discuss the new system that could eventually lead to the death of the password. That's after the break.
The world needs software to work perfectly. So Dynatrace combines cloud observability and AI ops to help teams simplify cloud complexity, operate more efficiently, and drive better business outcomes. See how at Dynatrace.com.
In Imagine a world where you no longer need to remember a single password. No more 16-character passphrases, no capital letters plus a number and a special character, none of it. Sounds pretty appealing, right? But without passwords, how would you keep your information safe? Well, a group called the FIDO Alliance, which counts companies like Google, Meta, and Microsoft among its members, says it's close to having a replacement. Last week, the group released a paper outlining a new process it says will be more secure than passwords and could be more easily adopted than past alternatives. Joining us to discuss what they've planned is reporter Katie Dayton from The Wall Street Journal's CMO Today. Hi, Katie. Thanks for being here.
Absolute pleasure, Zoe.
Let's start with this group, the FIDO Alliance. We've mentioned who some of their members are, but can you tell us a bit more about who makes it up and why they would want to do away with passwords?
Absolutely. So FIDO Alliance is made of a lot of big technology companies, some of the biggest in the world, including Apple, which is a pretty good coup for them because Apple tends to stay away from these kinds of things and do their own thing. And they started back in 2013. It was a really small group of tech companies, including Lenovo. And they were coming together to kind of crack this problem that is on the internet in every aspect of everyone's usage. And that is that passwords are really insecure. And everything that we've done to make them more secure has added more friction to the user experience, which puts people off from securing them. So the idea is that they want to create a way to completely kill off passwords and instead use a device unlocking mechanism such as your face, your fingerprint, or your PIN or your password to get into your accounts, which means that you're not sending an important piece of information like a password over the internet, which hackers can then get into and attack and do all sorts of damage with multiple accounts.
Okay, so I can understand from a user perspective why having a password is frustrating. Sometimes I forget it. You've mentioned, you know, it has to go over these systems and hackers could get to them. How frustrating is it for the companies to have to deal with these password systems at the moment?
So the companies are losing money anytime someone gets locked out of their account. And that can happen because they've forgotten their password or they've been hacked. And it can also now happen because a 2FA system, a two-factor authentication or a multi-factor authentication method has gone wrong in some way. So all of these companies are, you know, trying to staff up enough people to try and help people get back into their accounts. But obviously, they'd rather not be having to do that and spend their money elsewhere. Also, anytime a company suffers from a large attack, a large phishing attack that maybe affects thousands, even millions of accounts, that doesn't look great to shareholders. And, you know, we've seen a few times that stocks dropped off the back of those incidents. So it's very important for companies to make sure their accounts that they offer are not only secure, but, you know, are easy for people to get into.
Okay, so last week, FIDO said it was a step closer to getting rid of passwords, potentially forever. How exactly would that work?
On a technical level, it's quite complicated, but the basic idea is that if for me and you, if we went to go log in to our Twitter account or something, when we open the app, rather than it coming up with, you know, type in your email and your password, you might type in your email, but instead of typing a password, you would use whatever you choose to use on your device. So whether that be your laptop or your smartphone or your tablet, in lieu of a password. This uses a kind of a technique of sort of cryptography technique in that you have a secret key, which is on your phone, for instance, and then that kind of connects to a public key, which is on the Twitter's account, for instance, and those two connect to each other. But because of your private key is sat on your device, it can't be interfered with in any way. And the company basically say that means when you log in this sense, you're immune to any kind of phishing attacks. The latest update that they've done now is they've found a way that even if you lose your phone or if you buy a new device, you can just straight away start logging in the way you would have done with your old devices. And that's the big key. That's the big change that's happened because they've announced the way they can do this. Because before, if you wanted to use their FIDO system, when you got a new phone, you'd still have to log into all of your accounts with a password in order to set up the system. Now you don't have to do that.
Okay, but if I'm a user and I want to use FIDO's system, like how would that work for me? You know, am I typing in a new code? Am I holding it up to my face or using my fingerprint?
Yeah, exactly. I tried this out. eBay are one of the first companies that have actually started rolling it out for some customers. So not all. What it will do is when you log in this instance with a password for the first time, eBay will note, like, look at your device and it will say, oh, it's FIDO enabled. A lot of devices already are FIDO enabled because over time, these companies that are part of the alliance have been building this kind of framework into their technologies. And it will prompt you when you log in and it will say, hey, are you tired of passwords? Why don't you try this method? And once you tick the box and say, yes, that sounds good to me, the next time you go to log in, you would just use whatever you would use to log into your computer or your phone. So for instance, I was doing it on my laptop. I just entered my laptop password, which is a private password that doesn't go through the internet and it's a lot more secure. And then you're straight in.
So you may still have to remember a series of letters and numbers, but much more secure this time. That's the idea?
Exactly. You might have to remember one password rather than hundreds. And, you know, if you're using your phone, you could just use your facial recognition or your thumbprint or your fingerprint. It's pretty straightforward. I think we've all noticed if you have an iPhone or Android or, you know, some other smartphone, a lot of apps now let you use your face or your fingerprint or however you get into your phone to log into some apps. That's a different setup. That's a different technology because what that's doing is basically using your facial recognition or your PIN as a type of password manager. So what you'll see often is, you know, you'll see your email, you'll flash your face in front and your password will still be inputted. So the FIDO Alliance say this is a good thing. Even though you're still inputting a password, what that's doing is getting users used to the idea of using a method to get into an account that's not inputting a password. And the more we can get users used to that system, the more likely it is that more people will take up FIDO and the more secure their accounts will be, so they say.
There must be some skeptics to this system or the rollout of this system. What are they saying?
There's not a huge vocal skepticism around this. I think technology as an industry is very well aware of the issues of passwords and anything that can be done to resolve that is pretty welcome in the community. It doesn't work for every use case in the world right now. So obviously this is relying a lot on people owning their own devices. It doesn't exactly take into account those who, you know, use a library computer to log into their accounts or, you know, in some places around the world where like a big group of people will maybe have access to one phone and share that around. So the FIDO Alliance has created a few kind of workarounds for that as part of this rollout that they announced last week, this new system. They also found a way to kind of use a device through Bluetooth to authenticate on a different device. So for instance, if I was using a library computer and I couldn't input my own personal details to log into my account, I could maybe, if I had a smartphone, I could place that next to that library computer and use the PIN or my facial recognition on my smartphone, which would then tell the computer that it's me. And they say that's pretty secure because it's so proximity based and it's very difficult to hack into that in some way. However, if you don't have a smartphone in that case, then you're kind of stuck. And that's something that they're going to have to look at too. But we're not going to lose passwords next year at all. It's going to be very much a long progressive rollout. And as part of that, they'll be looking at those use cases.
All right. That was our reporter, Katie Dayton. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thanks, Zoe.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for your interest in the WSJ podcasts from The Wall Street Journal. We're always looking to improve, and we're interested in hearing your opinions. Please go to wsj.com/survey and take a survey that will help us bring you more of the content you're looking for. Thank you for your time and support.